Rage, right?
Rage doing a...
Goes on, yeah. Nothing lasts forever, even cold November rain.
Hi, Jad's LA. In October, I don't know why I'm bringing up November. You look lost, Ingles, more so than usual.
Great to be here, coach.
Good to have Brian Ingles back. Oh, stop it. Stop it. And I'm the coach. Thank you. God, this stuff never gets old in my book. Hi, Jad's LA. Another fascinating week in football, as always. When you really pay attention to it and start writing this shit down like I do for this team, every week, I think that's the way I like it. It's like a soap opera every week. Just things happen.
Just never know, man.
And they're always related to Jameis Winston. This week on ESPN, yeah, and fucking guy's good, you know.
No doubt.
This week on ESPN, on like Tuesday, you know, I have like the top 8 headlines or whatever. 3 of them were Jameis Winston related. The memorabilia thing.
He's definitely signing for cash. You can't tell me he's signing 2,000 helmets just for shits and giggles.
Look, that is the one thing I think they should get paid for. You should have a right to be able to sign your own fucking name. And there's ways around it. I don't know. This guy's stupidity never ceases to amaze me. But if they just put it in an account, an escrow account.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And actually not paying him. But as soon as he graduates, you get it that day.
That'd be cool.
That's what they should do. You know? And he's obviously signing for freaking. And they should be able to strike when the iron's hot. Perfect example is Terrell Pryor. Terrell Pryor is nothing now. Mm-hmm. But when Terrell Pryor was signing his name at Ohio State, talk about the value. As an adult... Anybody who is over 18 is an adult. You're, as a man, as a person, your earning power shifts. It fluctuates.
Yeah.
You should be able to make the money when you can make the money. Because now who wants Terrell Pryor's autograph? Only people from Ohio State.
That's it.
But in 2010, 2011, hot commodity. Should be able to make money off of it.
Oh, yeah.
Is he still in the league? What team is he on? He got traded.
I thought he was, wasn't he with Seattle?
Yeah, and I thought they released him.
Maybe they did. I forget. I don't know where he is. Gives a shit.
Speaking of Seattle, there's another one came out of nowhere. The whole Percy Harvin thing. What the hell's going on there?
That guy sounds like a total douche.
Everything you read about him. And I actually knew a guy who, a friend of mine at the time, he had coached him in high school.
Uh-huh.
And when he was coming out to Florida, I'm like, you know, what's the kids do? I was like, well, he's different. He's different. As he said, and it stuck with me, and now look what's happened. It ended up being a 6th-round pick. Right?
Yeah.
A 6th-round pick. And Seattle would give, what, like a first and a set? They gave up a bunch of picks to get him, and they signed him to a huge deal.
Yeah, it's a mistake. But, you know, they recognize it and just dump the guy.
Dump him. It's going to help the Jets, though.
Who knows? I mean, shit. Look what happened with him at the previous team before he came over with the Vikings. He got kind of divisive in that locker room. And if there's any locker room that could probably fall apart, it'd have to be the Jets, right?
I don't know. Speaking of the Jets, you know, obviously watched the Pats-Jets game, which was a good game. It was a fun game to watch.
Mm-hmm.
Fucking Rex, man. As much as I try not to like him, he's just likable.
You definitely want to play for the guy.
You want to play for that guy. I mean, the guy's bleeding out there. You know what I mean? He is fighting.
Mm-hmm.
You can't say the same thing for Bill.
Nah, you know, players are motherfucking Bill behind his back all the time. But
all the time.
They, you know, respect him. But at the same time, I bet Rex Ryan, you know, doesn't get that same, I don't know, angst and frustration from players behind his back.
No, I bet you they all love him.
Yeah.
I bet you they all love him. They can find the right way. You put Percy Harvin, Michael Vick, and Chris Johnson on the field at the same time. I defy you to find 3 guys faster ever. At their positions.
You won't, but they won't put, they're not smart enough to put those guys out there at the same time, or will they?
I don't know. You always think, you would think they are, but I don't know. Geno looked all right. That was actually, Pat's defense is so average.
Yeah, no shit.
They can't stop the run. They can't stop the run, and they refuse to commit to the run. It's a recipe for disaster. They're a very average team. They'll end up 10-6. They'll end up in the playoffs because, you know, it's the league they're in, the division they're in. They're not going to win anything.
Probably not.
Probably not. I tell you right now, if I'm going to redo my Super Bowl picks, I still take Green Bay. Green Bay looked great today. Did you see them?
Awesome.
They look great today. And got to say what? Denver?
Denver
Green
right
Bay,
now,
that's
yeah.
what I mean. But yeah. they were up.
Yeah.
Oh, that whole, everything I turned on during the week, the whole, just a nightmare watching this whole thing about Peyton, you know, breaking the Super Bowl, the touchdown passing record.
And just seeing Favre's name come up makes you sick.
I like Brett Favre. Wait a
I
minute.
Love him too.
I've always been a Brett Favre guy. I think he's just, he'd be fun to hang out with. No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The guy's sending dick pictures to the freaking interns and he was like 38 years old. Nothing wrong with that.
No, not at all.
You know? And that's another thing about the 38. They just will not let you forget. Peyton's 38. Honey, gonna be 40. And I'm the older statesman of this team. You know, and I'm an old guy. And Costas and Peyton Manning watched that interview just a few minutes ago. Makes me cringe. Well, you know, I'm an old guy now. But they're showing all the guys that had the record for most touchdown passes, the previous guys, like Y.A. Tittle.
Oh, yeah.
That guy looked like he was freaking 80 years old. And he's like 32 years old.
He was bald, right?
He was bald. As, you know, it's just people lived so much hotter back then, I guess. You know, Sammy Baugh was another one. Bobby Night Train Lane. You know the quarterback, Billy Kilmer?
I don't.
You never heard that name, Billy Kilmer? He went to Super Bowl with the Redskins when the Redskins lost to the Dolphins.
Do not know him.
That, yeah. Well, anyway, they own my dry cleaner. First time I've watched.
Let's have him on the show, dude.
The worst time. I think his family owns it. I think he might have. No, he's still alive. Yeah, that's a good point, man. I'll have his sister on the show. Poor lady looks just like him. You know, he looks like a 1970 quarterback. You know what I mean? He's from Azusa, it's around here. Yeah, I went to this laundromat. It's the first time I washed clothes in a month. The machine is an old building. The machine took dimes.
Oof.
Isn't that a trip?
Yeah.
When was the last time you seen a machine take dimes?
Well, I haven't been in many laundromats in a long time, but it's pretty impressive you're in there slipping dimes.
But, and then a machine. I thought this was cool. They had a machine where you put the quarter in and two dimes and a nickel came out. And then you put the two nickels in and a dime came out.
That is pretty bad.
Right?
You don't see enough of those.
You don't. I actually enjoyed it. They got pictures of Billy Kilmer everywhere. I'm like, right. You know, I should do a live show from there next Sunday night when I'm doing my laundry. Doing a live show.
Take the shit on the road is what
I'm
saying.
Take the shit on the road is what I'm saying. Speaking of the road, you got to go to a cowboy convention? What is this you got to go
to? No, it's just seeing customers out in Las Vegas, the big hotels that carry the stuff. So go out there, you set up a showroom, and you just kind of sling the merch, man.
And this is the time. Again,
this is it. This
another
is
big
it.
Win.
It's crazy to see a team win and the amount of people that are, you know, not returning calls when they suck all over me when they win. And so what we're doing now is we're selling for fall 2015. So when it's going good with the team, people are much more excited to, you know, tie up their dollars a year from now, if that makes sense.
How are you not a millionaire on the Pink Star alone? The Pink Star in October, it's like hit, right?
I think they give all that money back, or they give a huge percentage of that
stuff.
No,
it's a very small percentage. I read about it.
Yep, I think the Cowboys are, like I said, or as you know, they're a little different in how they do their philanthropic stuff. So I do think that a lot of the star-related stuff, like, goes to some charity with Old Navy. So, but they're making a lot of money on it either way.
I still have a hard time wrapping my head around this, but if you came up with something, you could put it out there and sell it. If you came up with it on your own, would you have to get someone's approval? Would you have to get Jerry's approval?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I would. In my position, if I came up with an idea, you know, with some sort of graphic or something, I would send it in and it would get approved and you could run with it. Yeah.
Do you never have to get, there's never like a boardroom where you have to get up and present in front of Jerry?
No, he's so far removed. I mean, we met him at that game a couple weeks ago, but he's really, when he started talking to us, I didn't even think he knew who we were. And then he kind of, you know, brought the story back around to how he spun off of the NFL doing merchandise. So he kind of knew who we were. But, you know, interfacing with him, I think I've met him two or three times in 5 years.
That's fucking amazing to me. You would think he'd be more
into- Well, his son's a little bit more involved in it. I see him at camp and stuff, and he's a nice guy to talk to. But, you know, being so far down the totem pole, really no one gives a shit about what I'm doing.
So how about those stickers, like the stickers you see in the back, like the big window stickers?
Yeah, that's...
Is that you too?
No, well, yeah, that's called Hard Goods, as I said before.
Yeah,
so that goes through a whole different other group of people. All I do is all the shit you wear in your body and your head.
Kid, pink stars. And I've seen pink stars. Maybe that's all the beers I had. But you can put that shit out there.
But, I mean, the pink stuff sells. It's crazy.
Unfortunately. And they keep winning. DeMarco Murray is a freaking stud. The first running back in the history of the NFL to have 700-yard games to start a season.
That's hard to believe.
That is hard to believe. It blew my mind. In the history of the NFL, all the great running backs out there.
So, like, when Chris Johnson and OJ got the 2,000-yard seasons, they didn't start out.
That's crazy to me.
That's crazy.
Jamal Lewis?
Yeah.
Any of them?
Yeah.
You would think that would be a relatively frequent occurrence, and then as the year goes
and
on,
then kind of taper off.
It would taper off. But the first 7 weeks, you would think there would be guys.
Shit. I mean, and, you know, he could keep going. They got, other than Arizona, they got a pretty sweet schedule coming up the next couple weeks. So they got Washington on Monday night, Arizona. I think that they fly to London, play that London game, bye week.
Oh, really? They play in London this year?
Yeah.
Who do they play?
The Jaguars. And the Jaguars give up the home game.
Ugh.
Of course, because who gives a shit?
And that's, you know, and the way the NFL is and the way you watch these games, that's the type of game that the Jaguars come out and win.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Come out and beat the Cowboys. Jaguars went home today, and I was watching that game. Cleveland looked awful.
They looked awful, and I was watching this thing online about, you know, like ESPN's kill pool, and the biggest bloodbath to date was the Bears win. Or the Bears lost today, I'm sorry. Bears losing to Miami. Because everybody in the kill pools had Chicago winning.
Oh, yeah. Those suicide pools?
Yeah, so you basically got to pick. You can't pick the same team twice, and each week you've got to pick a different team, and everybody went with that game.
The Bears. The Bears are just awful to watch, and the Bears play the Patriots next week. And that's the type of game the Bears all of a sudden find, turn around and light up the Patriots. Yeah. But Bears are just, Jay Cutler, and you read all the stuff, everybody's picking him MVP, and this Mark Trestman guy, you know, quarterback whisperer and shit.
That guy's borderline pedophile looking. That guy's scary.
Any guy with those types of freaking horn rim, black glasses, you know, Joe Madden, Andy. The guy, they all got that look. A younger guy can get away with it, but a guy in his, you know, 40s and 50s and 60s, they look like they're trying too hard.
Yeah.
They look like they're trying to be, you know, look like they're smart.
Yeah.
They ain't working, Mark Trestman, because how do they freaking lose that game to Miami? Miami's not that bad. Ryan Tannehill's not that bad.
Mm-mm.
And then running the zone read, and all the freaking slush vedettes of the world saying zone read is extremely tough to stop, and it will always be tough to stop. It's just a lack of the will for them to put the guy out there. I mean, you got a guy like Tannehill out there, freaking athlete.
Yeah.
You know, you just do it 4 or 5 times a game for 50 yards and like 4 big first downs. It's a great play. It's so hard to stop. Speaking of hard to stop, our game, we won 31-10 this week.
What's your guys' record now?
5-2. We won 31-10. We were down 10-9 with 10 minutes left in the game.
So how'd you pull it off?
Just came at him. It's very frustrating. You know, I'm not the play caller. I'm the O-line coach. And just, I'm up in the booth now. So it's like, every what do you think? I'm like, double tight ends come right at him. Double tight ends, I come right at him. They can't tackle. And then you dick around a little bit. And what do you think? Double tight ends come right at him.
So you're in the booth and the guy in the field's asking you what you're seeing up there.
Yeah. And he's like, what do you think? It's like a robot every time. Double tight ends come right at him. They go up 10-9, 10 minutes left. We come out and double tight ends. First play, boom, 80-yard touchdown.
Wow.
Kick off, 3-and-out, get the ball back. Second play, boom, 60 yards down to like 10. Next play, double tight end, boom, touchdown. Get the ball. They get the ball back. We get freaking safety in the end zone. Get them. They mess up the kick. They go for like an onside kick. We get the ball back. Next play, score, 31-10. Ball game. And it's just weird. High school football is typical high school football. Okay, we get the ball. We drive. We stall. A penalty. Someone happened. We, you know, couldn't do it. They get the ball. They would just run. The first half took 35 minutes of real time.
It's pretty quick, right? It's flying. What's it normally take? Like an hour and 15?
Hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, it's like two and a half, 3 hour games.
Because the thing with high school football, if you're not forcing turnovers, we didn't force any turnovers, and they're effectively patient and running the ball, the game flies by. Mm-hmm. And the next thing you know, shit, you look it up at the clock, and like, there's only fucking 8 minutes left in this game. We're still dicking around this team. That sucked.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, bringing moral story. Score points every time you fucking get them and come at teams. If team can't tackle, go at them. And this is a trip. This is our seventh game. Season's almost over, right? We have not played one team that has taken one snap from under center. Every single team we have played has been shotgun.
That's whacked, right?
Isn't that kind of messed up?
Yeah.
Not one play.
How about your team?
We do a lot under center. I like under center.
So it's all this kind of wide open offenses from everybody?
Everybody is spread. Everybody is shotgun. And the reason, I think one of the biggest reasons is because we do the 7-on-7 all fucking year.
Yeah, and that's always shotgun, right?
If you want to try to win those games, your best bet is to go shotgun 4 and 5 wides because they have to cover it all.
Yeah.
You'd be dumb to put in tight ends and backs.
Yeah.
Because it's easier to cover in a 7-on-7 situation, but when you get into a real game, play action, lose the ball, they lose the tight ends. But my point is, these teams get in this mentality in the spring, in the summer, and they're like, oh, this is going to be our offense. We look good with no pads on, running around with bra and panties. And all of a sudden, now they come out in real football. And I know I say it 1,000 times, I don't give a fuck, this is my program, I could say it again. When teams come out in shotgun with no tight ends, it is easier for the defense, especially at the high school level, to come up with these exotic blitzes and overload and just overwhelm offensive lines. The theory is, oh, we're going to spread out the defense. But what people don't understand, reciprocally, they're spreading out their own offensive attack. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of coming right at people at a point of attack and being like, look, we're going to pierce a freaking hole here. We're going to hit this hole. They spread everything out. And they're like, oh, we're going to spread out the defense. But the defense fills the space faster. You're screwed. So you get these teams. We just blitz all the time. And, a deep coordinator, that's his philosophy. And I like it. We just send 6-7 guys. They can't block it. So you got a quarterback who's average at best. He gets a snap. And you got a bunch of guys on him. All of a sudden, now he can't do anything.
Right.
You're not even giving kids a chance. But it's just commonplace now in high school football. In pro football, too. But you still look at the teams that win. Alabama runs the ball on the center.
Yeah.
In Florida State. Oh, did you watch that Florida State-Notre Dame game?
That was fantastic.
It was a great game. Notre Dame should have won that game.
And was it Kirk Herbstreit or somebody was talking about Jameis Winston, and they were saying that he's, as bright of a guy in terms of football knowledge as, George Winfield, or, the quarterback guru guy.
Yeah,
said that he has the same
Godfrey?
Mental capacity.
Godfrey? I don't know. Yeah.
George Woodfield, and he said that he's right up there with Andrew Luck in terms of football acumen and seeing stuff. It's hard to believe because you see the guy squint, he can't see shit.
He looks like a weirdo.
He bugs.
Nobody outside the state of Florida probably likes that guy, which now is starting to like him because I like the guys that nobody likes.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's amazing how much of a shitstorm is around that guy. It really is. It's hard to believe that the guy's even going to class or doing anything.
It don't matter. If he gets to, barring any huge scandal, which is a big if with this guy, he comes out after this year, which he should, he'd be a top 3 pick.
Yeah, well, they said that he's kind of already leaning towards coming out in 15, which is obvious. He should quit school as soon as possible.
Right. I mean, he's only damaging his own product. What else does he have to prove? He hasn't lost. He's 20-0.
He's awesome.
As a starter, But there's something about him, but, wouldn't he be great with the Raiders, though?
Man.
He looks like a Raider, squinting Raider, freaking Raider. Raider fans would love him.
Oh, yeah.
Love him. Oh, college football just all over the board. West Virginia beating Baylor. And actually, I have a former player of mine who goes to West Virginia. He doesn't play there, but he's a student at West Virginia. And I talked to him right after the game, like, huge win for West Virginia. He said, it's going to be on tonight. And did you see all the shit went on?
Yeah. It's got to be. I mean, it'd be a cool place to go visit for a half hour, but that place has got to be just hillbilly hell.
Yeah. Oh, it's in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. West Virginia bugs me.
Why?
It's just the state. You just, the deliverance kind of shit.
Yeah. Isn't that where deliverance was supposed to be? West Virginia?
Yeah.
It's a good win for the Mounties, though.
Huge win. And I was so sick of hearing about Baylor and Petty. It's good to, but, they still may still make it in that top four playoff.
Evidently, I was reading an article this week I thought was interesting. The quarterback, the coach for TCU, his freaking name escapes me at this.
Is he Peterson as well?
No, Patterson, Gary Patterson.
Yeah.
Evidently, he said, you know where I live, Gary Pat, who's the coach of freaking Baylor? The coach of Baylor, whatever his name, it'll come to me. Briles. He said, you know where I live, and he gave his address. last year, evidently. Yeah. And this year, one of the players from Baylor, like, came at him, like, I'm going to come to your house, and had to be separated at last week's game.
It's pretty funny.
I thought that was interesting. Yeah, fuck that. The guy's going to call someone out.
Yeah, yeah.
You know,
no,
look at Gary Patterson. You know, he looked like a freaking, you know, middle-aged freaking postal carrier or something. You know what I mean? You stand next to those freaking giants, those Neanderthals that play. Big win for West Virginia. I think it knocks Baylor out.
It has to.
All right, I'm going to redo my picks now. I think Florida State's going to run the table at this point.
Yeah.
I feel like every week that it's just something about them. They freaking find a way to win. So I'm going Florida State. I think Oregon's going to freaking sneak back in there and end up being in the top, you know, whatever, top three or four. They need to be in the top four. I think, shit. When you have a freaking point, make a point. No,
you probably got to add in Michigan State.
No, excuse me. I think Alabama's going to bring.
So right now you've got Oregon, Alabama, Florida State.
Florida State.
One of the Mississippis.
And I think one of the Mississippis, whoever ends up winning that Thanksgiving game.
Man, that'll be fucking crazy to watch that.
And I still think Michigan State can get in too.
Yeah,
Michigan
so those are kind of five teams. And, you know, Notre Dame's on the outs now. But, I mean, they technically should have won that game. And
they
the referee's clarification's
game.
A disaster. They didn't make any sense.
Right. They put it on multiple people, right?
Yeah.
And it wasn't even that bad. I mean, Florida State blew the coverage.
Nah, that guy, which is Corey Robinson, he had kind of a coming out game, man. That guy was grabbing everything.
You know, I tell you who's a player, too, is Golston.
Yeah.
I mean, he's a winner, too.
He kind of reminds me of Drew Brees.
Really?
I don't know. Same sort of size, same sort of throwing motion.
Black Drew Brees? Mm. Black Brees?
I thought Drew Brees was black. Sorry.
He's quarter black. That quarter part of his face is black.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, that's awful. SC, did you have to go to that game? Did you go to the game?
No, I gave the tickets away.
I could have went to the game, and I said I'd rather watch old people screw than go to freaking that USC game.
Yeah, yeah. It's
The guy who played for him, buddy of mine, I'll drop a name, a guy named Ronnie Sermons, a friend of mine. He's a president of the San Gabriel Valley chapter of the SC alumni, you know, players. And he's like, oh, I got great seats. You want to go again? I'm like, fucking no way. I'd rather go freaking sit at the freaking dive bar and fucking get drunk and watch that game.
Yeah, I give it away to customers and they go, they have a good time. But it was a 3 o'clock start, homecoming, parking lot's probably full by about 11, 12. So, you know, it's a commitment of 7 hours of being down there. And if you don't want to watch it, it's not the place to be. They had a great game that Corey Kessler threw for 7 TDs.
Record.
The best part was, did you see the Lindell White thing? You
know, yeah. He got bounced out of the game or something?
Yeah, and he just, God, these guys, somebody needs to get control of their Twitter or whatever, because he just, if he'd waited a day, he wouldn't look like an asshole. But now he looks like an idiot. And
well, I mean, I'm sure Lindell White's not making that much money, is he?
He's not even in the NFL.
Oh,
he was a bust.
He was
a fat bastard.
He was a bust. Supposedly, him and Vince Young, when they played for the Titans, they would go to TGI Fridays. And of all places, it must speak volumes of what Nashville's all about. These ballers are going to TGI Fridays. But Lindell White got thrown on TGI Fridays for bringing his own bottle of Patron and drinking that fucking TGI Fridays and thrown out. So, you know, Lindell's probably got some problems.
Oh, yeah,
but what
happened?
What did he do?
Well, I guess like the week or two before, he'd badmouthed and said fire Sarkisian, fire Wilcox, the coordinator. And this was after they lost to Arizona State. He showed up, got on the sideline, was talking with Pat Hayden, and I don't know after that, I don't think that conversation went too well, but as soon as that conversation ended, security and police escorted him out of there, and he's saying that Pat Hayden had him escorted out, and Pat Hayden's saying, no, I didn't do it. So who knows? You know, it could have been them just blaming it on somebody else, but he doesn't sound like a guy you want around there right now.
I would guarantee you Lindell White was crunked. He was freaking on something, purple drink, some freaking... doing something on the sideline. Probably reeked a booze or something.
Yeah, yeah.
So they got him out of there. And then, of course, the Twitter thing. But like you said, but who's... Lindell White's going to pay someone to filter his Twitter at this point?
No, I guess it's just the same thing of any normal guy. Wait a day before you send an email blasting your boss or whatever it is. That kid just looks like an asshole now. You know, and probably the best thing he has going for him is his relationship with USC, whether it be alumni or whatever. And now the guy's just looking like a bitter, overweight, drunk...
Right.
Bust bitching about us, you know.
And he's probably, what, 28 years old, maybe? He's probably a little bit older now. He's probably freaking...
What was that, 2004 when the Vince Young
2005, 2006. Shit, that's 10 years ago, kid.
Yeah, so he's probably 30 years old.
Yeah, he's probably about 30 years old. He's freaking getting crunked and ringing, going into the games, you know? I'm sure that happens all the time. I'm sure they get rid of those guys all the time. How is Colorado so bad? Why is Colorado never good? And it's like a marijuana-friendly campus. I was reading a thing that says they give the holiday of 420, which I don't know if they're giving it because of weed. I think they might give it because of Columbine. But supposedly, there's like the most lax campus in the country for weed.
Oh, it looks gorgeous. I don't know why you can't get good kids there. I mean, what was it? When we were in high school or junior high when they were really good back in the day?
Won a national title.
Yeah, Michael Westbrook and Cordell. You know, so they had the players. It just seems like they've hit a shitty patch for sure.
Eric Bieniemy.
Yeah. I mean, they're in Tennessee, like, you know, a couple other schools.
What kind of world do we live in when Tennessee, Florida, and LSU are unranked?
Florida looks fucking
awful. Why do they stick with this Driscoll guy?
They certainly can't anymore. I mean, he's going to be gone. Muschamp's gone.
I would hope so.
Yeah, I forget the three guys. They have three guys kind of lined up to possibly take his job, and somebody's saying possibly Lane Kiffin. It's like, dude, he's better off as a coordinator.
He's better off going away. Some guys just fail up, man. Yeah. Some guys, no matter what, they freaking come out freaking smelling like roses all the time. I feel like Jameis Winston's freaking coming out like that. Although, you see Bo Jackson put a hand out to Jameis Winston. Jameis Winston slapped it away.
Yeah, I didn't get, what was that story? He went to go shake his hand or something?
No, you gave him advice, but I guess he motherfucked him. Like, if I read another thing, he was like, and Jameis Winston was kind of like, all right, get away from me, Bo Jackson. And that was it. Obviously, Jameis Winston never played Tecmo Bowl, because he would have a lot more respect for Bo Jackson if he played Tecmo Bowl and used Bo Jackson. Unstoppable.
Unstoppable.
You get away with video games like that. Like, hey, you just run this one play every time and you never get stopped. Oh. let me just run this one play. Fire Sarkisian. I would fire Sarkisian. I would like to see Sarkisian fired, but it's funny how Penn State got all their sanctions lifted and USC had to freaking wear all this shit to the end of...
It sounds like that's partially because of their attitude about Mike Garrett, the old athletic director, the one that, you know, basically was meeting with boosters before he got fired and said, everybody in the NCAA is envious of USC, and he just kind of went about it the wrong way. And so when Pat Hayden picked up the pieces, you know, people were so, you know, turned off to the USC and the culture that's kind of why they got stuck with it. It sounds like the Penn State people, I mean, obviously much more serious sanctions, but, you know, I guess were humble and were more proactive about it and understood what was going to happen. And now look at it. I mean, they're back. I mean, I thought that school was screwed for 15 years. And it really, you know, kind of went down a little bit. I mean, but...
No, yeah, I mean, the next 2 years are going to be fine. They're struggling this year. But, yeah, they're going to survive it.
Yeah, so it seems like, I mean, remember Silas Red left there and came to USC?
Sure, it
was a big deal, and, like, it just kind of seems like all that's in the past now, for sure. I mean, obviously it is, but it doesn't seem like it was it doesn't seem as big of a deal as it did back then.
No, they've survived it. Oh, see this straight... Australian rugby superstar. You see this guy's trying to come to the NFL? Good for him.
That's awesome.
It is awesome. I respect guys like that. Like when Brock Lesnar tried to make it in the NFL.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar made it to last cut.
Yeah, and he never played football like after high school.
No, and just it's hard to believe that, you know, you make it to last cuts and then that's it. Like, you just, if you fucking made it, you made it. If you didn't, you're done forever. And this guy, who knows, he's going to come out to L.A. and probably get, you know, some management people and take care of him and get him running. But the guy, I watched his, like, highlight video, and I don't know how you can even relate it to what's going on.
They say the guy is freakishly fast, and he's 6'2", 220, white boy.
I mean, they think that's called special teams. Doesn't the Patriots have like five of those guys?
Like Nate Ebner and stuff like that?
Yeah, no. Guys that played rugby at Ohio State or whatever they are.
Yeah, Nate Ebner. I'd like to see the guy. He's 6'2", 220. That ain't little, man. But
big dude.
You know, it's just one hit to the knee and it's over.
Yep.
Pete Carroll's looking to bring him on the squad. I could see Pete Carroll doing it. Oh, kid, I got to ask you about this question. What is this Joseph Randall deal with this guy shoplifting?
No, and now he's got the...
And now he's got this, what, men's panties freaking commercial.
I think it's a colossal mistake for his representation to say, let's do this deal. Like, don't you want the fact that you stole three pairs of undies and an $80 thing of cologne behind you? Now that he's going to go out and try and promote these undies... it's going to be like, why are you doing this? Oh, because you got caught stealing this shit. And he was, and it's not like a one-time deal. He was doing it the week before when he was stealing shoes.
Oh, was he?
He just got caught. The only reason he's sad is because he got caught. If he didn't get caught, he'd be back at that Dillard's tonight shoplifting shit.
What a fucking retard kid. I mean,
he makes $4.95 a year.
Yeah, you're in the NFL, and you got a tenuous grip on your NFL career.
I did.
You know, why would you even mess around with something like that?
They'd probably find him $30,000 a game. He makes $29,000 a game.
Why'd they just get rid of him?
Because he's good.
Is he that good?
Yeah. Him and Dunbar are good, man. They're good. They're not starter material, but they're kind of like, they remind me, I guess, if to be put on the spot, kind of that Ridley-Vereen, you know, combo.
And he's cheap by NFL standards.
Yeah. Yeah, and you got Murray doing the bulk of the stuff, so you got to have somebody back there.
I have no patience for that shit, though. And the guy comes out and he apologizes. I made the worst mistake of my life. Dude, we're not talking about DUI here. We're not talking about, like, getting in a fight. This is premeditated shit. He walked in there. He's like, okay, I'm going to steal these fucking underwears. And you know, it's like, it's not a mistake. It's a character flaw.
No, and then this company says, you know what? That's the guy we want to promote us. The thief, you know, so I don't know, maybe that, you know, but they, maybe they, it worked off everybody. I think they said like they're donating like $15,000 to a charity where they're going to donate $15,000 in underwear. Does that sound about right? I think that's what they're going to do. So everybody, I want a free pair.
Oh yeah, you need it. You need it. You know, Plush Digs in freaking Santa Monica. You need a freaking free pair of underwear. It's amazing. Oh, it's just, yeah, you're right. This company, the spokesmodels, the spokesmen, they choose the companies. Like I was talking about Bud Light and Warren Sapp. Or like this new thing they got on this No More, this ending domestic violence against women, and they got Ice-T out there. What the fuck, man? The hip-hop community is one of the biggest freaking perpetuators of women's violence. Shit, how many Ice-T songs, I couldn't come on the top of my head right now, but he talks about slapping women and shit.
And the police and everything. Yeah.
And now Cop Killer. But, you know, now Ice-T is, you know, the voice of reason. No more. I mean, how do you really go about eliminating beating women? You know what I mean? There's always going to be just complete lunatic assholes. Mm-hmm. How are you going to get rid of complete lunatic assholes by some public service announcement? Don't beat women. We all know that's not right, right?
The only public service announcement I even remotely can think of that ever registered was the Your Brain on Drugs. Remember that commercial?
Yeah.
That was it.
That obviously worked with you, right? And you forgot
that
one.
I said, I want
one.
My brain to look like that. It looks fucking good.
Yeah. Yeah, that one worked. Because they made our generation with the D.A.R.E. program and shit. They fucking terrified us.
Shit.
They scared us. And then Snoop and Dre came along and told us, no, it's all right.
Yeah.
You know, once we got in like sophomore year in high school, wait a minute.
Yeah.
It's okay. All right.
Yeah.
It's okay. We can freaking, you know, hand out a big booty hose and freaking smoke weed and things are going to be all right.
It's good with me.
It is good with me. I wish I was hanging out with big booty hose. Not really. I didn't freaking, I'm not into like, you know, well, I don't want to digress. UCLA. You should watch a UCLA game?
A little bit. Painful. Painful. I wanted Cal to win. I wanted Cal to win.
I did too. They're so bad. Sorry, Andy. I don't like Jim Mora. I've never liked Jim Mora. There's something about him. He's just a snake oil salesman type guy.
Yeah.
You know, he's just something about, I don't, it seems like I don't like most head coaches, but I guess it's professional jealousy. I'll wear that a little bit. But I mean, the guy is just something about him. Fucking Cal. Talk about pissing a game away. They're in field goal range with like 50 seconds left, and they freaking try to hit a streak down the sideline, and the guy picks it. Worst coaching freaking decision I've seen all year.
Not to cut you off, did you see what Joe Montana's kid did?
Spiked the ball on fourth down?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know that everybody's just bagging on you for the rest of your life.
That's coaching.
How the fuck is that coaching?
They gotta be freaking, if they see him, because you see him lining up to go spike it.
Like, somebody needs to yell, hey, dude, don't spike. So how about
the guys? Take a heart attack or something? I don't know. They probably had no time. I'll just run out there and grab a pull referee down. I don't
do
know.
Do something.
Maybe it's not coaching, but someone's got to alert that guy. Hey, it's fourth down.
How does he not know? Can you? I mean, I guess I've never been in that situation, but isn't there the big fucking guy with a sign, this number on the sideline? How do you not see that?
Yeah, and a huge scoreboard that usually says fourth down.
Fuck. Just a kid panicked. Feel bad for him. Not really.
Why would you feel bad for him? He's Joe Montana's kid. He's never had to do anything the rest of his life. He's probably going to get hooked on painkillers in freaking 2 years and throw a woman out of a car like John Elway's kid. Remember that one? John Elway's kid just threw a woman out of a car.
Probably one of his, you know, he's always super successful with those car dealerships out here.
Oh, yeah. Shit, you see
sold
them
for like $85 million.
He sold the dealership?
He sold the ones in Colorado. He's still got one in like Manhattan Beach and Orange County out
Ontario.
Here. Ontario. Yeah, Ontario, yeah.
Right by where I live, he's got one. $85 million. Mm-hmm. And he just kept the name, John Elway's?
Yeah, I don't know if they sold the franchises. Or I don't know how it is, but I know he sold out of something in Colorado, and he's still, you know, doing pretty good out in here with the dealerships.
John Elway's never have to freaking hurt for nothing. No, Nick Montana. Is even Nick Montana, or is that another Montana? He played over here at Mount Sac for a minute.
Yeah, that Nick Montana, I think, is a kid that went to Notre Dame, then he went to UW. The kid that kept transferring around everywhere trying to get a shot. I think he played last year at Montana.
But the things with kids like that, if they want to, they can immediately get into like a premier coaching job. You know what I mean? Like, now you're in the GA at Texas A&M.
That screws a lot of guys like yourself. And then, you know, you watch a...
I better...
Well, you're obviously watching the Fox guys, and you look at there's not one true announcer. They're all former players and coaches. And then when they were kind of doing the preview to the Fox One guys, it's Randy Moss, Donna McNabb, and Joel Klatt. Joel Klatt was a quarterback at Colorado. So if you're in journalism or whatever, there's not many Bob Costas's or I don't say Chris Berman's or Chris Fowler's, these guys coming up anymore.
Right.
And if you do see those guys, they're always the kind of guys that kind of control the zoo. They're the kind of point guy.
Or they have to have big tits and look like Jenny Dell. You know what I mean?
That's my weakness.
That's the way. You know how many kids are sitting in those communication classes at Syracuse and shit that are never going to be able to do anything?
Yeah.
You know, it's all who you know. It's all being born with the silver spoon in your mouth. Well, I guess being a little bit much on that. Texas A&M, getting back to them, just rolled by Alabama. Whoa. No pun intended.
Yeah, I mean, you got Kenny Trill, the big, you know, biggest stud ever the first week, and then just gone to shit. I mean, they got spanked, dude.
Oh, it was like
59-0.
And it was like 42-0 and like 7 minutes left in the second quarter.
So they've got they got the kid from Arizona, Kyle Allen, the number one recruit in the nation, as a true freshman backing up Hill. Next year they have coming in, they have a kid from Southlake, one of those big powerhouses where McElroy, Drew Brees, and Chase Daniel, all those guys went to high school, this kid Kyle Murray. So they're going to have three, you know, the barn's going to be full of three stud quarterbacks. If I was Kenny Hill, I'd be thinking, you know, where am I going to go from here?
It's the Johnny Manziel effect.
Yeah.
And if I'm Kevin Sumlin, I'd take a job in the pros.
Yeah.
Next year. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It'd be really... I don't know. Something about Texas A&M, though. People seem to really, really want to go there.
My boss's daughter goes there, and he says it's a great time. I just can't take anything serious where you got guys walking around in uniforms and that kind of shit.
What do you mean? Like
the little fake army or whatever they are?
Yeah, like big ROTC school, aren't they?
Yes.
Speaking of announcers, what's his name? Mike Goldberg?
Oh, you got the guy? Yeah. I mean, bro, did you see? Have you listened how bad it was?
I read about it. I didn't listen to it. He was getting wrong names and shit.
Yeah, and then he, you know, just, like I said, somebody needs to control these guys' Twitter. And he went out after these fans and called them douches and stuff. And now he's, you know, that was it. He'll never get another job like that again.
Throwing out F-bombs on Twitter?
Yeah.
You're just going to think to yourself, that's not a good idea.
No.
No? You probably just get hammered, I guess, and you're like, fuck it, I don't care.
Yeah.
I'm just going to start blasting the world. Just get drunk. Like Jim Irsay. Yeah, those stories about Jim Irsay coming out are just disturbing.
What was kind of the two that kind of caught your...
The big one is he had this woman that was essentially his, you know, live-in girlfriend.
Yep.
She died of overdose, okay? And he didn't even go to the funeral because he sent flowers and didn't even go. And I guess one of her friends was saying... And then there's several things. And then he... Now, have you seen his girlfriend now?
No.
Jim Irsay's girl. She's like a former swimsuit model that he was asking questions on Twitter. It's the power of money. Power of love. He was asking trivia questions on Twitter. She answered. He ended up going back and forth with her. She's some super hot, you know, 40-year-old. And she dumped her husband and her kids, left him to go freaking with Jim Irsay.
Do they talk about that?
Yeah, it's in the article.
And they're saying it's true love or whatever they want to say.
Well, yeah. Yeah, it's true love, you know. She wants to be with this guy who looks like fucking Skeletor.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah,
you saw that video of him freaking walking out of his car, freaking, bro, there's like, you know, his bedazzled jacket. Did you see that?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I actually...
It's hard to watch, man. It really is.
I appreciate guys like Jim Mercy because they're different, a little bit different. You know, he's a rock and roller. I fancy myself a rock and roller. So, you know what I mean? He was buddies with Hunter S. Thompson. You know, he was just a different cat. But, you know, he's freaking home wrecker. And just, he was dying. And I guess a friend of the girl who died would come home and find Jim Mercy and the girl just like passed out face down on the floor and shit from using OxyContin and shit. You don't recover from that.
No.
Jim Mercy will be dead within the next 3-4 years.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll bet you Peyton will go ahead and buy the Indianapolis Colts. I wouldn't be surprised.
Or, you know, be part of a group.
You got like Mercy probably has that wired. You know, be part of a group that buys a team.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Well, what's going to happen to the Cowboys when Jerry kicks it? Jim, that's going to be Jones for life, right?
Yeah,
forever.
Yeah. You've got, I think it's going to be Steven and the daughter, I think, will be in the forefront, and possibly Jerry Jr. will be kind of the I don't want to say second tier owner, but like I think it sounds like Steven's the next person to get control of it.
I would think as time goes on, it's just going to be hotter and hotter for people to buy these franchises. You just think they're just going to be family-owned forever. You know, and just keep on going like the Bengals. They're going to keep going with the Browns. See, Marv Lewis got in trouble this week for actually saying something I agreed with. Although, poor Marv, did you watch the freaking Colts just dismantle the Bengals today?
Shut out.
Bengals are pretenders.
Yeah.
Indy looks real. Indy is real. Shit, every time I looked up, I swear... Trent Richardson was actually running the ball well.
Finally.
I think Trent Richardson's pretty good. He's a victim of circumstance. But Marv Lewis got in trouble this week because he was saying, you know, Vontaze Perfect or someone had a concussion. Well, he got hurt again today, Vontaze Perfect. But he's saying, I don't know, it just seems like guys with concussions, the concussions just linger longer nowadays. And everybody got all freaking, how dare he say that?
He's right.
He's absolutely right.
Shit, I mean, this 10 years ago, 15 years ago, I never...
5 years ago.
Yeah. So it's like concussion has like a new PR rep. I mean, yeah. It's like the cool thing to have everywhere.
Right. It's like being gay in high school.
Yeah.
Like being... All of a sudden, gay kids are really popular in high school. It's some trip, man. Like, hey, nothing wrong with the gays. I've said it before, but it's like, those are the popular kids. Like the homecoming court, they're doing... It was our homecoming this week, and like 3 of the 5 kids... fucking gay on the finalists.
Crazy.
What does this world come to? And Vontaze Perfect. Speaking of perfect, he got hurt again today, but he got fined $25,000 for twisting Cam Newton's ankles.
And Greg Olson's. I saw it, and it did look deliberate.
That is as old as football. You know, it's as old as a fucking pigskin.
Exactly. When you're in the pile, I guess, supposedly grabbing
guys
nuts.
Grab nuts all the time. I know. I was never really into that because then it would be grabbing nuts, you know. I was actually one of the few players ever that fucking wore a cup. You don't know these guys wear cups. You do know.
I know. No, that to me is absolutely crazy.
You used to wear a cup in the pool, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. We're not supposed to talk about pool. One of our listeners complained about...
What? About what?
About us talking about high school swimming. Michael Lucino.
What's wrong with talking about high school swimming? You used to go in there with a codpiece. You wouldn't care about the race. You just want to look like you had a little bit of bulge. Maybe I can go out there and... That's embarrassing, though, kid. If I went out there, I'd be wearing, like, a fucking T-shirt and, like, Bermuda shorts and shit. I was... You had a shave too, right?
I'm not talking
all right,
about it.
All right. Sorry.
Out of respect for Lucino.
Yeah, I like Mike Lucino, good guy. Cabo Kaepernick, speaking of fines, Kaepernick, now he comes out with the Beats.
With the stickers on him?
The stickers on him. What a fucking dumb thing.
This is what I was saying. Why doesn't somebody get a hold of that guy and say, dude, you're killing yourself on a ton of money by
just don't wear them.
Just don't wear them or look respectable. I'm not trying to, like, blow Tom here, but you see the quarterbacks that handle themselves or look a little bit. I'm not saying Kaepernick can't be a leader the way he's dressed, but it is true, kind of the perception of him is like, dude, this guy's got his hat backwards. He's got these... What are you listening to music 24 hours a day?
Right.
Dude, give me a break.
It's a generational thing, man. It's what kids are now. And he's a kid. He's like, what, 22, 23?
I don't know.
But I know. I know. It's just what it is. I don't like it either. And I mean, you know,
it's probably the same shit they say about guys who used to wear their hats backwards.
Yeah, Ken Griffey Jr., that's my era.
Yeah.
And that's why I'm wearing my hat backwards now, especially a fitted ball cap. But Harris Poll, you had to pay attention to this. I don't even know who Harris is, but it always grabs my attention when there's a Harris Poll.
That, like the Nielsen ratings kind
of. Yeah, Nielsen ratings. Yeah, it's like they're Nielsen. The people. They rank the top 10 teams in the NFL by popularity. Number one, Broncos. I dispute that.
They got a pretty big fan base.
Evidently, they're supposedly number one. I don't think they're the most popular team in the country.
They're new hot. I mean, it's been since the last 3 years. They kind of changed the colors of the uniforms, got those new unis going, the blues.
And then I've got those freaking uniforms.
He's got Peyton there now.
They've had those, yeah. Yeah, it's the Peyton Manning effect, but they're the most popular team. The number two team was the Giants?
No fucking way.
I dispute that, too.
Yeah.
Personally, from what I see, my qualitative studies, just seeing things, and out in this area where there is no teams, and you have a wide variety of people from all walks of life, I still think the most popular team in the country is the Cowboys, and I think the number two team is the Steelers. They were 4 and 5, respectively.
Wow.
There's Broncos, Giants, Packers, Cowboys, Pittsburgh, Seattle, Nouveau Riche, yeah. Seattle, San Fran, Pats, Bears, New Orleans.
I wouldn't even say Pats are in top 15.
Oh, you don't think so?
No. Really? I mean, I think Red Sox are, when you talk about what you see people out here, but I would go Steelers, Cowboys, Raiders.
Once the Raiders start winning again, they'll vault right back up.
It'll be crazy. I mean, think about how big they are now, and they suck.
Yeah, well, of course, we do live in you know, Raider territory.
Yeah.
But, you know, Broncos have sold out every single home game since 1970.
How big is the stadium?
I don't know, but so what?
Yeah, it's pretty impressive.
You know, this top 10 is flawed because I think one of the most popular teams, and it's only been recently because it's easy to shit on nowadays. You know the number one team is for consecutive sellouts?
Patriots?
It's Washington Redskins.
Oh, wow.
They've sold out every home game since like 1967.
Pretty impressive.
But they're not in the top 10 for some reason. New Orleans.
No.
Yeah, it's Nouveau. The Nouveau Riche. New Orleans, Seattle.
Their fans, not to jump in here, their fans are scary. When I was out in Dallas and saw those New Orleans fans, I mean, that is a different culture of fans.
How so?
Much more urban, I guess would be the best way to put it. Just a lot more gold teeth, you know.
More brothers, a lot more crunked.
Very crunked.
A lot of fans of the Yin Yang Twins.
Yeah, and the ladies' outfits were spectacular.
Where do you see my dick? I just heard that song the other day, and I was like, what a fucking great song. You know, that was very popular as well.
That was big time.
I love the sentiment. Oh, I just think this is funny, and it's just gross. I don't know. I'm very sophomoric. Again, Ball State football players, you see they got thrown off the team? You see the couple players got thrown off the team because they went to a restaurant, and they one of the players went into the restroom and wiped his ass with a few dollar bills and left it as a tip. I would never do that stuff. I don't condone it, but I just think that's funny. I mean, what kind of person do you have to even think of something like that?
Yeah.
All right, hold on. I'm going to go in the restroom and wipe my ass with this dollar bill. Then it is a tip.
One of the former boxers, I forget his name, they just had the picture of his receipt where it said, you know, where it says tip.
Yeah.
And he wrote, or not, and left a note, a zero tip, kind of like LaShawn McCoy. So tipping's trending right now.
I could see not leaving a tip.
It's absolutely disgusting.
At least that's a little passive aggressive. But fucking wipe your ass with a dollar bill and leaving it to someone, that's criminal.
Yeah. Yeah.
You can spread infectious disease that way. I won't even try to make an Ebola joke because Ebola's not funny. I tell my students that all the time. They try to make Ebola jokes. Like, shit, that shit ain't funny.
Yeah.
Speaking of Dallas, it's hidden Dallas, no?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, where JFK was rushed to. That's the same hospital, like Dallas Presbyterian or wherever it is. But it sounds like that's an ugly deal, man. Makes blood come out your eyes and your ears and shit.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. It's no laughing matter. No laughing matter. What is a laughing matter is these fucking offensive coordinators who hide their lips when they're calling plays. And this is just something that just bugs me. That and when managers go out and baseball players are talking.
Catches.
And they hide their fucking lips. Like someone's got a lip reader and be like, oh, this is what they're saying. especially offensive coordinators, they hide their fucking lips like someone, you know, Spygate. They were even watching them. Like, yeah. Hold on, we figured it out. Yeah, I'm calling in the defense real quick. We're going to stop this play.
Yeah.
I don't know why I talk about that. It just annoys me when I watch that shit. Annoys me when they, every time fucking Patriots play, one of the announcers has to talk about how Bill Belichick likes left-footed punters like it's a fucking revelation. Belichick loves left-footed punters every fucking game.
What happened to Mesko? We just didn't like him?
He never caught on. Anyone.
I know, no. He like I think he caught on for a game or two with Pittsburgh.
Pittsburgh, and he was gone.
Yeah, but he, I mean, I feel bad for a guy like that.
Why?
I don't know. You're doing a good job, and then you just get axed, and you never get back in. You ultimately hope that guys like that, who generally sound like he was like the main guy for all the community stuff from the Patriots, would catch on with somebody else, but... You know, it's not like that. It's in a perfect world.
It's unacceptable. God, how many people use that fucking word in every fucking press conference? Every team that loses on a Sunday, it's unacceptable. Well, fucking, really? You have to accept it. You just lost. I don't, you know, it's not like you have to accept the loss. Every one of them, listen for it now. It's like, it is what it is. They freaking, they.
That's fucking annoying.
People just jump on these little freaking verbal sound bites and then they just, oh, that sounds good. That sounds like intelligent. It's unacceptable. It's like, what's his name? Mike Tomlin. He just rambles on about that shit all the time. It is unacceptable. It is unacceptable play. Can't stand the Steelers. Steelers, Texans tomorrow. No thanks. I'm taking a bye on that one, kid.
Yeah, for sure. Though J.J. Watt is pretty mesmerizing to watch. If they had Clowney, it'd be a little bit better to watch.
He practiced this week. Supposedly he's going to come out and play. I don't know. All right, for my fucking one borderline racist statement of the week, but I'm not trying to be racist. I'm just reporting facts.
Jesus.
The bottom three quarterbacks in the league by QBR. Take a guess.
Geno Smith.
Geno Smith's one of them.
Cam Newton.
Cam Newton's in the middle of the pack.
Okay. Yeah, give me...
We don't have time. Quick. Rookie. I'll give it to you.
Ted Bridgewater.
Teddy Bridgewater. The three bottom quarterbacks by QBR are Teddy Bridgewater, Geno Smith, and EJ Manuel.
Oh, fuck. But he's not even starting now.
Okay, fine. But, you know, they went in with him as starter.
Yeah, as the guy. So what are you saying?
I don't know. I don't know what I'm saying. I don't know. And then Cam Newton's 13, and he looked terrible today. And Kaepernick's 12. And Kaepernick's, you know, mixed breed. He's Obama. I don't know. I'm not trying to say anything. I'm not saying, you know, I got mad respect for the brothers. I watch freaking all the sports. I have black friends. I'm just saying, why are these guys the bottom three quarterbacks in the league? Is this just happenstance? These are the things you just don't get on ESPN and regular talk radio because they wouldn't have jobs and, you know, nobody's paying me to do this shit so I can say it. But, I don't know, maybe black dudes can't play quarterback as well? I hate to say that, but why?
Who else has been? I mean, Michael Vick, Dante Culpepper.
Michael Vick's QB.
Randall Cunningham.
Well.
Warren Moon.
What, black quarterbacks in general?
Yeah, just in the last, like, 10 years, maybe. Maybe obviously.
Oh, yeah, there's some. You know, Randall Cunningham, Warren Moon. But... I don't know. Terrell Pryor never made it.
Vince Young.
Vince Young flamed out real quick.
RG3.
Terrell Pryor flamed out real quick. Didn't do anything. RG3, I mean, who knows what's going on with him.
Dude, the guy doesn't even have a career winning record.
He's below 500?
He's like 7-11.
See, Jesus, time to run out. You see that they went with, I think Colt McCoy, I always thought Colt McCoy could be good. And he played well today.
He did play good, but like, I don't know. Cousins just had a bad half, man, and they gassed a guy where that guy was like the future of...
I know, right? Four weeks ago, I was
saying... It's fucking tough, man.
It is, but getting back to the point I was trying to make is a guy like Colt McCoy was all world at Texas, just never really got the chance, you know? He was on a shitty team. And
he got that hit by Harrison, the concussion.
Yeah, and he got a couple concussions, but he was like 12 or 13 today.
He's like 11 or 12, so he's doing something right, and then I wouldn't be surprised to see him start in Dallas because, you know, he's from Texas. Maybe they'll, you know, kind of ride the wave with him going into Dallas.
It's all opportunity, is all I'm saying.
Yeah.
And he just, you know, like I've talked about Jimmy Clausen, but I think Colt McCoy, I'm saying there are backup quarterbacks teams could go out and get. If Colt McCoy was a quarterback right now for the Bills, I think the Bills would be fucking pretty good.
Yeah.
As opposed to EJ Manuel. I don't know if anybody would listen to it. I don't mean it that way. I'm just bringing up these points, people. You know, I mean, they have to be. Somebody has to talk about it. I mean, there's only five black quarterbacks in the league, and three of them are the three worst QBRs.
And hard yards, we'll talk about it.
You know, because I'm not beholden to anyone. Anyone. I don't give a fuck about nothing, Ingles. All right, that's it. Flew by. Follow us on Hard Yards LA Twitter. You be here next week, or are you going to be out doing something?
I'll try and get here.
All right. Yeah, that's it. We're done. I'm out. We'll see you next week. Later.